The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
It is deeply appropriate that we celebrate the baptism of our Lord this morning. These words that come from God, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with you I am well pleased," are just one of the things that happen when Jesus enters into the waters of baptism. Jesus thinks of himself and calls himself the Son of Man. That's how he refers to himself throughout the Gospel. It's often translated as the human one. And I love that translation because what it says is this, that really one of the missions of Jesus is to simply be human in the deepest possible sense, the way God intended us to be human. And the way he became human, the way he was entered into and lived into being human, is all right there at the baptism. When he's coming out of the waters of baptism, the heavens are torn apart. The heavens are wrenched. And a spirit, like a dove, descends upon Jesus. And then the voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Oh, these three things pretty much make up what it means to be human. To have the heavens opened up and to understand that heaven and earth have been united. They have been united in this singular person, Jesus. And that he, throughout his life and mission, will know that heaven and earth are one. That God's will be done in heaven and on earth. It's no surprise that when the disciples ask Jesus how to pray, he says, "Pray like this, 'Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven,' because I see it all the time. It's not just a petition, it's a reality." So, walking around on this earth, knowing that heaven and earth have been united, that's one way that Jesus understands what being human is. And then the Spirit, the breath of God, the same breath that God knelt down and breathed into the first human beings. That Spirit going all through, landing on Jesus and then going all through him. It's interesting, and I had never known this until this week, but do you know how when in Jewish law you don't eat the blood? Because in the blood is the life. It strikes me that connecting the blood with the breath and the life is like, look, it's this early understanding of how the body works. You breathe in, and your blood brings that breath, that spirit, that oxygen into your body, and it scores, it takes it all the way through your body. And so, the Spirit of God is in the blood, the oxygen that it carries. It carries it all the way through, and so that we are filled with this Holy Spirit. And Jesus knew the Spirit, lived in the Spirit, understood that that was the Spirit which he was to follow, and not a lot of other spirits that the world has to offer. And then finally, this word, you are my Son, the Beloved, with you I am well pleased. My Son, the Beloved. Notice that in Mark's Gospel, Jesus hasn't done anything, really. It's not like Jesus has done all this great stuff and God delights in all the wonderful successes that Jesus has had. As far as the Gospel writer is concerned, it doesn't matter what Jesus did before. This is what matters. This baptism, this voice saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved." And it is out of that voice and hearkening to that voice that Jesus is going to become, live into, embody what it means to be fully human, the human one. It's not a reward. It's like the impetus to be human. There are many other voices that we could hearken to, and that we do hearken to. Jesus is sent into this world for us to be able to see what it's like, to listen to that singular voice, and to live in that voice. We have seen a lot of things happening in this week. Lots of voices saying, "This person is to blame, that person is to blame." And it's huge. And it's not different than the way the world is normally run. The voices that tell us that we are unworthy. The voices that tell us that we don't amount to anything. The voices that say, "You have not done anything. You do not deserve anything." That's the voice that many, many people hear. It's a voice that leads to frustration. It's a voice that leads to anxiety. It's a voice that leads to violence. It's a voice that says, "If I can only get better than somebody else, then maybe I will be of value. If I can get over against someone else." We have fallen into that. There have been voices all over the place that say, "You are of no value." And now the voice of Jesus on this day of the baptism of our Lord is saying no to all of those voices. Listen to this. "You are my child. You are the Beloved. And it has nothing to do with what you have done or have not done. It has to do with who God is and what God intends for all of humanity." I cannot imagine that the people who flooded the Capitol had in their hearts the notion that they were loved by God. My guess is they have heard far too often that you are no one. You don't matter. You don't need to be listened to. And then they hear a voice that tells them, "Oh, but look, you do matter. All you have to do is look down on some other people, and then you'll feel better. You have to take things into your own hands, and then you'll feel better." the voice of the world. And the voice of the world leads us down this path to where we are hating one another, to where we are doing violence against one another, where we are scapegoating and blaming everybody else for us. And the fact of the matter is that we simply have not heard the words that will make us more human. And so we dehumanize others as an attempt to try to humanize ourselves. And you know, it isn't just with big stuff. It's with very little things. Just the other day, I had a conversation with a brother in Christ, and I said something that was a bit offensive, and he said, "You know, I'm feeling defensive about what you just said." And I was like, "Oh no," and I got defensive about his being defensive. And I wanted him to stop being defensive. And in about that quick a time, then, this brother in Christ stopped. And he said, "Wait a minute. I don't need to be defensive. I know who I am." He could have been saying, "I know I am delighted in. I know I am a son of God." Okay. And then that was infectious to me. And I said, oh yeah, right. Okay, good. Yeah. I don't have to be defensive about your being defensive. We can move on. We know who we are. It was a lovely little tiny thing, but really important. Because when we live remembering that heaven and earth are united, that the Spirit of God, the living God, goes through our whole body, and that we are delighted and beloved, then what's to defend? Nothing. We know who we are. We are human beings. Now, of course, there are times when we just simply forget, and we see it all the time, where we forget we are human beings. And in fact, the gospel sort of reminds us of that. Jesus at the beginning, the heavens tear, the Spirit descends, the voice comes. At the very end, when Jesus is crucified, right? When he dies, the curtain in the temple is torn, just like the heavens, same word, torn in two from top to bottom. The Spirit of God goes out of Jesus. He breathes his last breath, Spirit, same thing. And then the centurion who's watching over the crucifixion says, and I think sarcastically, "This was the Son of God." Huh. As if to say, this is what happens when you think you're somebody in the Roman world. Contrast the beginning of Jesus' ministry with what happens at the end. He is fully human when he receives those things from God. And he is put to death when those things are taken away. And that's the end of the story. Except it's not the end of the story. Because the tomb and the rock cannot hold back the breath of God. And after 3 days, the breath of God gets to Jesus, bends over, and breathes into him again. Live. Live. And Jesus is raised from death, never to die again, and to continue to live, knowing that earth and heaven are united, that the Spirit of God is loose in the world, and that we are beloved. It is his to show us beloved and delighted over. The church has this unique mission to remind people. And it's in the Gospel of Mark too. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus, when he's resurrected, tells Mary to tell the disciples, tell the disciples to meet me again in Galilee. Go back to where I started. Go back to the rivers even, into the waters of the River Jordan. And remember what happened there. That's the truth. That's the truth that I want you all to give to the world. I was thinking about a black preacher one time that after a long service, 3-hour service, a certain Lutheran who was very used to just 1-hour services and, you know, sort of watching the clock like this, said, that was a beautiful service. It was really wonderful, rich. Wow, great. How come you're in church for 3 hours, though? I mean, 3 hours. And the pastor just said, look, here's the thing. 6 days a week, the world tells my people that they are nobody. That they don't matter. They're the last ones hired, the first ones. The last ones hired, the first ones fired. They get paid less. They get treated indignantly. 6 days a week, the world does that to them. I get them for 1 day. And in 3 hours, I have to remind them of who they are. That they are God's beloved. And that's not easy when they've had 6 days of that other voice. 6 days of those other spirits. When they have felt separation rather than unity. And so, yeah, it takes us 3 hours to do that. I wish I could do it. I wish I could take more. 3 hours is what I get. And so, dear church, that seems to be our charge as well. The world hears a lot of the voices that accuse them and that push them down and that oppress them, that create hatred and animosity and frustration and violence. And our task is to go into that. Just as Jesus was baptized into the Jordan, where all the other people in their sins were washed away, and Jesus enters right into that with them. But to enter into it more deeply, to see beyond the anger, go deeper beyond the hatred, go deeper beyond the frustration, go deeper beyond that the violence and all of the things that are brought up in people. Go down to that place of self-loathing, that place where people think they are of no value. And there, bear witness to a very different reality. To speak, you are of great worth. You are God's beloved. God is well pleased with you. God created you and filled you with the Spirit of life. We can do better than this. And we will. Because God has blessed us. And then I wonder, what will become of all of the people who are so filled with hate? Church, we have an alternative reality. It is the reality. And it begins in baptism. It begins with God uniting heaven and earth, filling us with a Spirit, a Holy Spirit, and telling us exactly who we are, beloved children of God. This is our message to an angry world.